I truly believe that people are not property. Like, like when a woman's like, well, that's my dick, you know, like no one touches that.
Yeah.
Am I being too crude for the Scarlet edit?
No, not at all. Not at all. It just like made me laugh like the way you said it. Like, welcome to the Scarlet edit. I am your host, Nikki Corbett. This week, my guest is a personal freedom coach who is proudly in a polyamorous relationship. When I first met Mike, we were connected to talk about his career, but we never followed through. We share a belief that there are no coincidences in life and that there was a reason we did not connect until now. Mike shared with me all about his relationship journey, from a monogamous marriage to polyamory, how that affected his life, his marriage, but most importantly, his relationship with himself. I asked him all the expected and unexpected questions, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. Let's get into it. Well, Mike Mezeroff, welcome to the Scarlet Edit. I am so looking forward to our conversation, and thank you for joining me.
So nice to be here, Nikki. What a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. As we were talking before we started recording, it's like always interesting the timing of connection. And we had been connected months ago when this show wasn't even an idea in my mind. And then we started the conversation after the show had started. And you said, actually, I am a perfect guest for that type of show. So tell me why you thought you were a perfect guest to come on here.
Well, you know, I saw what you're talking about with the Scarlet Edit, and I've been married for 16 years and in a polyamorous relationship with my wife for seven years. So really just been navigating that for a while and learning a lot.
Yeah.
And I've seen how I think how receptive some people are, but also how there's a lot of misconceptions as well. So you know, because I'm a personal freedom coach and I'm always kind of sharing and talking, and even the fact of how you and I met, I don't believe in coincidences. I think everything happens for a reason.
Same.
I'm an open book. You know, I want to share more. I think there's a lot of people out there that could benefit from just hearing some non-traditional ways to go about relationships, because I think it's obvious that the traditional approach isn't like always the thing that works. Like, it, if it did, you know, that's great, but it just doesn't work most of the time. So I think more people these days are open, you know, open-minded, and then of course that kind of translates into more just openness within their relationships. So I'm happy to talk about this. It's very personal to me, of course.
Yes, obviously. So thank you again for being open. I mean, I would imagine that one of the questions that you often get would be, well, is this just a way for you to have sex with other people?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's flat out asking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I'm just curious.
Because it's so obviously so not that to me that I was like, oh, is that a real question?
No, I mean, because I feel like, okay, so yeah. So wait, I'm not going to keep talking. Yes, I would like you to answer, is this just a way for you to be able to have sex with other people?
No. Having sex with other people is a part of it, but I think that's kind of where the difference between polyamory and any open relationship is important. And a lot of people think that, oh, you're polyamorous, so it's the same thing as every other open relationship, or you're a swinger, or you're into all this kind of stuff that I'm not. I don't know what these acronyms mean, and I'm not part of like chat groups and stuff like that. For me, polyamory literally means what the word means, which is multiple love or more love. And the way that I like to explain it to people is the love that you feel for, if you have two pets, or if you have three children, let's say three children, you know, it's not like they each get a third of your love. You know that if you have three children or three pets, they all get unlimited, overflowing, unconditional love. And for some reason, we don't look at our romantic relationships the same way. And that's what polyamory is, to me, at least. It means that you have the ability to love more than one person. Now, of course, in practice, that takes work. It takes a lot of communication, a lot of honesty, and it does lead to a lot of freedom but it's freedom through discipline. It's freedom through communication. It's freedom through some really kind of uncomfortable things that most people would rather cheat on their spouse or sweep things under the rug or not talk about, instead of, you know, I'm really, really proud of the relationship I have with my wife because we've had some of the most uncomfortable conversations. We've had some really hard times in our relationship. And I just know that it's just getting stronger and stronger, and our love is getting stronger and stronger as well. Even if she's spending more time alone or spending more time with someone else, it's irrelevant.
Okay. I mean, I think that there would probably be some people that would say, holy crap, it's hard enough for me to love one person. I don't know how I could possibly love more than one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be honest, I've been open to polyamory for almost 7 years, I should say. I've actually been polyamorous for a few months. I actually just in the 7 years of being polyamorous with my wife, I never had a serious relationship. I did have a lot of flings and some one night stands. And, you know, right at the beginning, it was like, even though I was 30, 36, 37, it was like Mike at 22 on spring break. And I realized that's not me anymore. And it was really unfulfilling. Yeah. It was not what I wanted. So I do think an open relationship gives you that kind of freedom to sleep with people. I just know that doesn't do it for me. Like that's, I've been, so much of my journey of polyamory has been more time by myself. And that to me has been the biggest game changer in my life. It's what led me into, it's honestly what led me into this career that I'm in now as a coach, as a speaker, as a writer. It led me to more self-awareness than I've ever had in my life, because my wife and I, we were always super close. We traveled the world together. We lived in a car for a year in Australia and a few months in New Zealand. And we had amazing experiences, but we were pretty codependent. And once that started to kind of like unravel and that space was there, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked or how I enjoyed spending my time. It was always us and we, and what are we going to do? And where are we going to travel? So that experience of just more time for me was the greatest gift. Really a life changer. It was like a rebirth, like a second awakening, or a real awakening, I should say. And that came from just almost kind of just saying, hey, you could do whatever you want to do. She had a serious boyfriend right away for almost 6 years, and that just ended recently. So she always kind of was splitting her time and spending a lot of time with him. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it's, I mean, the amount of people that I've helped and coached and not necessarily about polyamory, just life. And really, like, I don't call myself a self-love coach, but at the end of the day, that's what I've been discovering for the past several years. How do you show up in a relationship as a happy, complete, whole person who's just looking for more joy and more expansion and sharing of experiences, not happiness, not you complete me, not I need you, I want you, I don't need you. Uh-huh. That's a big difference. So it's
huge,
been amazing.
Difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So take me back to when this started, because you said you and your wife have been together for 16 years.
Married 16 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So probably together for longer. So a huge portion of your adult life, you guys have been together. So when you made the decision to live a polyamorous life, who initially brought that up?
My wife, Alisa, brought it up.
Okay.
And, you know, really interesting. She kind of blurted it out one morning. I remember, like, we were just kind of having breakfast. It was in Colorado. And she kind of just said, what do you think about this? And it wasn't polyamory. We both didn't know what that word was, really. Like, it was just, what do you think about this? And my initial reaction was, fuck no. I mean, I was just like, absolutely not. And the amazing thing is, at that time, and this was around February, March 2018, I had just been meditating for almost a year. So, and that's really where everything started changing for me in my life, is when I started meditating and practicing mindfulness. And that came out of me being kind of a dick. Like, really, like, I wasn't really present in our relationship. I could see why she wasn't feeling fulfilled, or she wanted something else. But because I had been meditating, even though I said, fuck no, immediately, I sat with it for probably like a half hour, and I didn't like storm out. I just kind of sat with it. And I said, well, what's happening here? My wife, who's my best friend, someone who I've known for so long, is telling me something that she wants. And the truth is, I've had years of integrating and working on this and developing, but I could tell right away, she's always been this way. She is like, her orientation has always been polyamorous from a very early age, bisexual, polyamorous, full of love, just wanting people in her life, very extroverted. And she started to fit the norms of society. Mm-hmm. Our relationship got so strained that she was willing to put it on the line, which to me was a blessing because it had to get to that point. And I kind of sat there and I said, my wife's telling me something. I'm glad she didn't wait till 70 or 80 or 90. And we have life left to live and we only get one life in these bodies. So I just had this very clear vision that I have two paths. One path is full of all these negative emotions, jealousy, insecurity, inferiority, possessiveness. And then this other path was pure, unconditional, boundless love. And when I looked at it like that, it was like, might as well try the love path, you know?
Fair.
It's like,
fair.
And she never, you know, she never made it an ultimatum, which I really appreciated. She's like, if you're not into this, we'll go to therapy. We'll work on our stuff, which I thought was great. But I said, no, like, this is something you clearly want. And let's at least give it a shot. You know, let's try it out. And that's how it started. And it was, you know, not a smooth road. It was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of hard conversations, you know, meeting her boyfriend, like one of the hardest experiences of my life. Really, you know, we've had just incredibly difficult conversations and experiences, but even, this is what I coach now. I tell all of my clients, hard decisions, easy life. Hard conversations, easy life. Most people would rather have it the other way, or they think they would, but they're like, I don't want to do that thing that feels so uncomfortable. So I'm going to live the rest of my life full of regret and repression and lies sometimes. So yeah, it's tough, but it's worth it, at least to me.
So was there ever a discussion initially about, you know, what it was? Like, did you feel like she came to you saying, I'd like to explore this because I feel we are lacking and I don't think I will ever be able to get everything I need from you, but I don't want to leave you. I don't want to just abandon what we have built over time. Or did you ever have a moment where you were like, fuck this, like I'll go find somebody that wants only me?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, because I was doing this inner work and I was kind of starting to just learn more about myself, that I wouldn't say that I'm naturally polyamorous. Like, it's not like I ever thought about it. It wasn't something that I wanted. Uh-huh. But the more I've been exposed to it and living this lifestyle, it and this is why I was even open to it in the beginning, it completely aligns with my beliefs about life, my beliefs about not attachment, my beliefs about love. It just fits, you know. And the only thing that was holding me back was societal norms and programming, caring what other people think, all those things that are just bullshit. They're not really real. They prevent people from living authentic lives and following their heart. So once I can kind of see through that, the resistance, it was like, I actually want this, not so I could sleep around, just so I could, basically so I could say yes to the flow of life. So I could move in the direction where the universe is saying, go here, talk to this person. It doesn't mean it's going to lead to sex or a relationship. It's just, maybe it's a nice conversation at a coffee shop, or maybe it's a dinner, or maybe it's just a passing glance that changes the energy. But to to shut that down just because we're in this box, this, you know, these rules didn't feel right. So it felt much more expansive and freeing. But again, the you know, yin and yang, there's always a balance. It's like that freedom takes discipline. It takes really open, honest, raw conversations that you have to be kind of confident with who you are and not needing other people. You know, it's almost like we're figuring out how to navigate life together, but also more autonomously and more independently. And that completely fits with my coaching and how I live my life as a personal freedom coach.
Did you ever feel like your masculinity felt challenged as a result of this initial, you know, surprise?
I mean, come on, obviously. Obviously. Okay. I don't think I mentioned that in my negative emotions list, but emasculation was in there. Of course. You know, like, how come I'm not enough? And I know from all the work that I've done that unworthiness or kind of just like a lack of self-worth has always been something that I've dealt with. So this was like, it was very shocking and jarring. And I remember this is kind of crazy. Right after she started dating this guy, I was like, I don't know if I brought it up or she brought it up, but I ended up taking about a week vacation in Sayulita, Mexico. Okay. And I was 30, 37, maybe around. And I had worked for an airline for 10 years. I had traveled all over the world. Traveled, you know, business trips all by myself since I was like 21. But I never took a vacation by myself in 37 years. Uh-huh. So that experience was at one time, it was the most freeing, liberating experience, like to wake up and say, what do I want to do? What do I want to eat? All of that freedom was great. But then the flip side of it was crying on the beach by myself in Sayulita. Like, how could I have done this to my relationship? What's wrong with me? How's this ever going to work? So I was really like having that back and forth at the same time. Like, this is what I want. This is freedom. This feels great. But what's wrong with me? How come I'm not enough? Did I do this? Is this my fault? Like, it's something wrong. A lot of emotions, a lot of work kind of moving to a place where I'm just, it's who I am. It's so natural now. And it's something like I just wouldn't have it any other way.
So I'm so intrigued by your journey here, because I've always been of the belief that if all of the sudden a couple decides to open their relationship, I always have been of the belief that it's because one person is really wanting that. I think it would be very rare for two people to be together and then all of a sudden be like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And I feel like it's always been, I don't know if convincing is the right word, but it's always been that there's one person that broaches the idea and then kind of the other person has to make the tough decision if that's something that they want to consider or ultimately move forward with. So I'm so intrigued by your level of self-awareness through all of this. And as you've kind of gone on the whole journey and you are just okay.
More than okay. Like it's, you know, like I said before, there's no mistakes. The fact that she brought it up and was feeling this way, even I've always been attracted to her as someone who was very flirtatious and, you know, she never cared if I was looking at other women or she would point out other women to me. I always loved that about her, not kind of maybe realizing like there's more to that, but it's, I'm so glad that she did it. It's really hard. It's hard to explain because it's not like it was immediate. Like this took work and this takes inner work and self work and healing and confidence and all of that kind of stuff. But my wife was the reason we quit our corporate jobs and traveled the world. I mean, she's been the catalyst in so many amazing decisions in my life that it was just like, I respect her and I trust her. And I think that there's also a reason that she and I are so open about this and so vocal to help other people who are struggling in their relationships to say it's normal for couples to not have sex. Like, it really is. Like, instead of like, there's something wrong with us or there's something wrong with this relationship. And that's just one aspect, you know, of I'm just focusing on that as one example for anyone out there who's like, how do we fix this? And it's like, maybe it's not supposed to be fixed. Maybe that isn't, for us, our sex life has never really been a huge part of our relationship. And I think coming to terms with that was like, what am I so upset about? Like, I still have my beautiful relationship with this amazing person. Nothing really has changed except kind of like admitting where we're at. It's like if couples would just be like, hey, like, it's not like that physical intimacy is not there, but I don't want to lose what we have. If you can be smart and safe and get it somewhere else. Like I truly believe that loving someone else is just wanting them to be joyful and fulfilled, even if it has nothing to do with you.
That's very selfless.
That's love. Like if you love someone, you want them to enjoy their life, not, but only if, or, and if this, no, it's actually even more simple. I just want you to be happy. Period. And if that's really true, and it is true, then whatever they need to do to be happy, you need to be okay with. And the caveat is vice versa. You know, a lot of men I talk to are like, yeah, I'd love that, but I can't imagine my wife sleeping with someone else. And I'm like, but you're going to be sleeping with other people. How is that fair? And also, to each his own. Some relationships, one person is monogamous and the other person's polyamorous. The more I've read and researched and talked to people, no one knows. No one has the answers. You have to know yourself. I mean, that's something that I always say, nosce te ipsum. It's Latin for know thyself. And if you have a partner, talk about things. Like, you have to figure out what works for you guys, not based on a book out there, based on certain rules. Like, you got to make your own rules. So it's
well, and I think it's like anything. Like, there's no two relationships that are the same. I mean, there's no two human beings that are the same. Like, we all eat differently, move differently, think differently, feel differently. So I do want to go back to one thing that you said, though. So you said that that physical intimacy was never a big part of your relationship.
I knew you were going to go back to that.
Well, I have to, because this is what people are going to ask. They're going to, because a lot of times, again, a lot of times people do think that these things stem ultimately from sex. So, and as human beings, you know, we are sexual creatures, and we, you know, I think for the most part, like, we all want a level of intimacy. You know, some are stronger, some are lesser. But my question would be, are you not that sexual of a being, or are you not that sexual of a being with her?
With her.
Okay.
With her. And yeah, I mean, we had a decent sex life, you know, and then we didn't, it fell off. And then we did some work and we were trying things, and it's like, it felt like it was forcing. It didn't feel natural. And I feel just, it's crazy. I just feel so lucky because we get to prove to everyone that that doesn't mean the end of a relationship.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Truly. Because I think a lot of times that, I mean, and I know I've said this, I've actually said this on a podcast episode that will likely come out before this one comes out. So people will hear me say, like, if you are sharing a life with someone, but you're not having sex with them, like, you're friends.
I don't agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my wife and I have a very intimate relationship. It might not be sexually intimate, but it's, we're very close and we hold each other and we, you know, we kiss each other. So I mean, my girlfriend now, she is naturally monogamous and she's kind of open to this. It's been interesting. It's been a lot of deep conversations, and she questions, she's like, well, why would you stay together? And I said, because we're not defining our relationship based on one tiny little aspect of the relationship. Most people, that's the whole thing. Like, it has to be this amazing thing. And I just don't believe that. So, you know, there's also like, would I get married again? Only I'd say no, because I don't believe in the construct. I don't believe that you should start your relationship that's based on all this beauty and unconditional love with a signed contract. It just makes no sense.
Filed with the government, right?
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you on that. When my ex-husband and I went and filed for our marriage certificate, it was like $46. And then the day that I went to file divorce paperwork, it was 10x that. And I remember being like, what? It's $465 just to file this paperwork? And she was like, yeah. I was like, okay, for like the government to know what? Like that I'm married? Like what?
Yeah, crazy. But, you know, it is crazy. It's marriage is a crazy institution. I mean, I've done a lot of research on the history of marriage, and it's not founded on love. And I think we have a huge misconception in our culture that love and marriage are the same thing. And they're not. They're not. There's love, and then there's a relationship. A relationship is give and take and transactional, and you have to kind of work at it.
This week's episode is brought to you by my Patreon community, Rewritten. Inside this space, you will find resources, live Q&As, opportunities to connect with others in the privacy of a judgment-free zone, and so much more. I want to build this community together, a society of women who are choosing the best for ourselves, who are shaking off the stigma or shame of past decisions and using our history to shape our futures. Come check out the Patreon. Anyone who signs up between now and October 31st, the first month, is free. I look forward to seeing you inside. Now back to our episode.
Love is unconditional. It's boundless. You can't contain it. And the fact is that we try to contain this thing that's uncontainable, and it leads to a lot of misery. It leads to a lot of repression, which leads to depression because we're not authentically expressing ourselves. And I think the point of life is to live your authentic expression. And for me, I have a life partner. She's my best friend. She is a friend, my best friend, but also an intimate life partner who just wants the best for me. How amazing is that? I mean, I feel honored to have that. I think people look their whole lives for that kind of relationship. And anything that I might be, quote unquote, missing, I could find. I mean, I think that's another huge misconception, is that one person is supposed to or even able to fulfill all of your needs and desires. It's crazy. It puts so much pressure on them and the relationship that it's no wonder why most monogamous relationships don't work, or they're cheating on each other and not talking about it. So
yeah,
it's like the amount of monogamous relationships where there's not infidelity and there's true, like true authentic expression and happiness is rare, really rare.
So I guess another question would be, you know, obviously, I mean, I like the whole premise of, you know, being 100% that you want somebody to be happy, wanting to, you know, just love and experience love and share love. But I guess my question would be to the other people. So to a boyfriend that she may have, to the girlfriend that you have. Have you ever had thoughts where you think, well, like, is this maybe not going to be that fair to them? Because what if you are with someone and she wants to live with you? Or what if she's thinking about the future and as we age, and you want that person to be there with you as you go through different life stages, but then you're maybe not sharing a home, or, you know, maybe like you said, your girlfriend is monogamous. So then she's kind of like, okay, well, maybe even if you're not like sleeping with somebody else, like you still have a wife that is giving you all of these things and you have this beautiful relationship with. So how do you navigate that?
A lot of openness, a lot of honesty. I mean, this came up very recently for my girlfriend and I. Things like, you know, children, talking about like, she wants children and I don't. She would want her partner to live with her and spend a lot of time with her. And I have a lot of time in my life that I need for myself, for the work that I do, for my own solitude as just a spiritual being and as a writer, a creative person. I need a lot of time by myself. So all I could do is just be honest, be authentic, and just say, this is what I want. this is what I see this relationship being. If you're on board, great. If I don't ever want to hold someone back, I don't ever want to be a reason for resentment or regret. And I've been very upfront with her about that because I care about it, because I do love her. And I want her to have a beautiful, fulfilling life. But I also know that there's so much that I can give her if she's willing to be creative and try out some new things. I have no problem with cohabiting and cohabitation. And I would love, I mean, honestly, I would love like a compound where I'm in Costa Rica. So it would be like little casitas where my wife has her own. I have my own. My girlfriend has her own. And we have communal eating areas and hangout spaces. That's not the living situation right now. Right now, my wife and I live under the same roof when she's here in Costa Rica. My girlfriend lives down the block and we're kind of navigating it and figuring it out how it's working. It's still pretty new, but it's just being honest. Like I don't want to change anyone. I don't want to convince anyone. I don't want to force anyone, especially. I just want to say like, here's who I am. Here's what I'm looking for. I have a lot of love to give. I'm a really caring person. I have a huge heart. I know that there's more joy here if we can get past some of the logistics. And that's what it is, because that's, you know, sometimes we don't want to talk about that, but a relationship is logistical, you know, like if you actually want to have a relationship and it's not just a one night stand or a fling, you have to have these conversations and they're not comfortable, you know, they're hard conversations. She's like, I want to see you all the time. And I'm like, I want to see you all the time. If I do, I'm going to lose who I am. I'm going to resent this relationship and it's going to fade out. It's not going to work. So either, I mean, this is like an adult conversation. It's like either we need to give this a shot with some boundaries or we go our separate ways. And it doesn't change my feelings for her. Mm-hmm. It's just, that won't work. It'll always feel like someone's giving up too much or, you know, compromise is one thing. Sacrifice is another. Like we all have to compromise. I don't want anyone to sacrifice who they are or what they want in life.
Do you feel like any of the ways that you feel with like the level of honesty or the openness or the you know, wanting, you know, you want her to be happy, you want her to feel, you know, like that she's getting what she needs out of the relationship. Do you feel like any of your kind of level of comfort with that is because you are married and you do have this, like, you still have this relationship, and whereas like your girlfriend has you. So mm-hmm. It gets to a point where she's like, this isn't working for me. She's now back out in the world on her own and you still have your marriage.
Yeah. I mean, it's undeniable. Like that does exist. Like that's a reality, but I guess it kind of reminds me of the question I tend to get the most is, well, what if my wife is Elisa? What if Elisa falls in love with someone else and just wants to be with them?
Totally.
Or what if you fall in love, like, and I am in love with my girlfriend, but like, what if you just want to be with her? Well, then that's what we're supposed to do. Like the only reason that we wouldn't is because we have a contract. I mean, that's crazy. That is like, most people live their lives based on this false sense of security of like, no matter what I do, I could just stay, you know, I don't have to change. I don't have to grow. I don't have to expand. I could sit and watch Netflix every night. I'm going to have this partner next to me no matter what. I call bullshit on that. I think it prevents people from growing and expanding and experiencing new things. They get so comfortable in their complacency and this false sense of security of like, my wife is always going to be there for me no matter what. It's just not true. It's every day is a new day of like choosing to be with each other.
Yeah.
That to me is so much more powerful than a contract. It's like we wake up, we're like, still want to be with each other? Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's lovely. And I think that's beautiful. And I do agree with you wholeheartedly that, yeah, the piece of paper is the piece of paper, but you have to put in work and you have to communicate and you have to talk and choose one another, especially as we grow. I think that's one thing that so many people don't realize, especially when we are younger, is that we're going to keep growing and keep evolving as people. And that never stops. And I mean, I know that when I was younger, I used to think I had this milestone of 30. And I thought like, well, when I turn 30, I'm going to feel this way. I'm going to act this way. I'm going to be this way. And it's just going to be. And then I got there and I was like, nothing changed. And then as I've continued on and, you know, watched my parents go through life changes. And I remember one day I had this active thought as I was kind of watching my mom and she was frustrated. And I was thinking, what's going on with her? And then I was like, you know, they just had some really big changes in their life. And I think she's figuring out who she is at this new phase and this new chapter of their life. And it was like this big light bulb went on, like, holy shit, it never stops. Like, we're always evolving. And it doesn't matter if you're 40, it doesn't matter if you're 50, if you're 73, like, you're still evolving and growing. And you have to like work through that.
100%. I think that's, and this is just from my coaching, I've worked with a lot of people who are struggling in their relationship. And it's typically because the person who I'm working with is growing and expanding and maybe becoming more spiritual and practicing mindfulness and just wanting to do more things. And their partner is just kind of lagging behind. And that always seems to be the case in relationship disharmony, where it's like, I just wish he would be more emotional. I wish he would share more and talk more and want to do more things. Well, I'm like, has he ever been like that? And usually they're not changing, or they're not open to change. And some people really, I think everyone changes, but it's like the rate of changing that throws relationships out of whack. And, and my advice always is, unless they just know, like, it's not working, I got to move on. Usually it's like, forget about the other person. Like, you have to just focus on yourself, do the things that make you happy. And if that leads into an open relationship, again, this is not what I coach people on, but if lead into it, then that's just the next thing. And either they're on board or they're not. And then that's going to give you more confidence and more clarity on what you actually want. But it's always about, you know, focusing on what you want instead of like, well, I can't do this because of this person that's in my life. It's like, that's where resentments grow. That's where regrets happen. And it's a short life. Like, we're supposed to enjoy our lives like tremendously. Mm-hmm. And I do think relationships should be a conduit to that instead of something that prevents us from doing that. And it's rare. Like, I do find it rare to have a relationship that actually encourages like that growth and that expansion. It's usually like, well, why are you changing? That's not the person I married. Come back here.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, right. I'm never going back to that. You come here. And, I, you know, at that point, maybe it is time for a new partner if they're not willing to kind of accept the change that's inevitable in life.
This has been so eye-opening, because I think that, you know, oftentimes people, when they hear open relationship, they hear polyamory, they hear ethical non-monogamy, you know, which that's kind of been one of the hot acronyms in the online updating world, where you see people putting in their bios, oh, is that just a way of somebody telling you, hey, if I'm dating you, I'm going to be dating and sleeping with other people too. And they're just like being upfront about it from the jump. But I do think that often when people hear these terms, they just think that it is absolutely rooted in sex, and that it is rooted in either one or both people wanting to have sex with other people and essentially have an affair, but not have the secrecy part of it. And so this
there's no judgment. Like, if that's your thing, then that is an open relationship. Go for it. But if you want to be polyamorous, it's just literally what the word means. It means that you could love your romantic partner the same way you love your multiple dogs, your multiple cats, your multiple children. And you can give someone a huge amount of love and you can give someone else a huge amount of love. It's not like 50%, 50% or 60-40. It's almost like an orientation, like a way of being, like a way of looking at the world. I truly believe that people are not property. Like, like when a woman's like, well, that's my dick, you know, like no one touches that.
Yeah.
Am I being too crude for the Scarlet edit?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. It just like made me laugh, like the way you said it, like the ownership of like, that's my dick. Like, yeah, no, it just cracked me up.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
That's my dick.
No, absolutely.
That's my pussy.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in that. I mean, first of all, I practice non-attachment, but she's her own person. Do whatever the hell you want with your body. Like what? I don't get a say. I don't get a say. Like I could, I could tell you my opinion, but I can't control. I don't want to control anyone else. That's, we are all autonomous beings that, you know, if we want to join together, then we talk about things and make compromises and have a relationship. But to say like, you can't do something that you want to do because we signed this contract feels insane to me. Like that's insane. Like, how could someone say that that's okay? It's the opposite of love. It's like forced repression because of your insecurities, which don't get me wrong. I've been doing this for years. It's taken me a lot of work to get this comfortable even talking about it. And I spent, you know, the massive majority of that time learning about me and focusing on me and spending time with me and reading amazing books and learning these things that I never had a chance to learn when we were together all the time and watching movies every night or Netflix. It's like, you might be surprised at some of the benefits that come from just being open to something new. Like I had no idea this was going to unlock my purpose in life. I mean, really, that's how significant it is. And I never would have known that.
That's a huge statement. That's a huge statement. And I think one of the things that I've liked the best about what you've said is you've so openly and vulnerably shared your experience. No, I appreciate it so much because I'm learning so much. But one of the things that I like that you said the most is that it like the openness isn't confined to like a particular space or time or person. And what I mean by that is I've heard other times about when couples open up a relationship or become polyamorous and then, but they kind of have this lock, like, but she is my person. He is my person. Like they come first always, no matter what, like the marriage is kind of like the king of the castle, which if that works for them, that's fine. But I liked what you said because you were like, maybe she does get to a point where she meets somebody and she's like, oh my God, I am in love with this person and I only want to be with him. Maybe I get to a point where I'm in love with another woman and I'm like, you know what? I only want to be with her. And you're like, that's because that's what's meant to be. And then it's kind of like, you're like, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And I think that just further enhances your statements about being just open and being so genuine in wanting what is best for everybody that you're involved with and even everybody that you're not involved with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, it takes a different way of looking at things. You know, it really takes a nonconformist view of the world and you can't ask people's opinion, especially parents.
yeah.
But you just can't look around for like a pat on the back or someone to be like, yeah, good for you. It just has to feel right for you. And it didn't honestly right at the beginning feel right. It felt like she's telling me something and to deny her of that would be horrible. So even though I'm like, I don't know what this is, I'm not really sure about it. It wasn't like I wanted it. I still said, let's give it a shot. And just by that one, like wanting her to be honest and happy in her life led to me discovering my life's purpose and falling in love with this new girl and living in Costa Rica. Like it just opens up life when you stop grasping on. And it's like, I mean, imagine this is the way I love looking at love. Imagine like you're holding water in your hands and you could hold a decent amount of water when it's nice and gentle and open. But the second you try to squeeze onto it, it just slips through your fingers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And most people go through life like that, like clutching. I love this thing so much that I'm never going to let it out of my sight. No one else could touch it or talk to it. And it's mine and I'm going to do whatever I can. Oh my God. Can't you feel like it feels terrible? It feels awful. And it's not love. It's not love. It's attachment, and attachment is the source of suffering in the world, according to the Buddha. So most of our love-based relationships are really just reasons to cause suffering. They're not like, I wrote this, I just pulled this up, tiny, tiny short poem I'll just share. Oh. It's just four little lines. I'll help you reach the next plateau, then you'll help me, and up we go. Love is expansion without end, spiraling upward, our souls ascend. So that's like, beautiful. That's what I, thank you. I just want a spiritual partner who's like, if I'm in a bad mood or I'm having a rough day, they're like, you know, life's great. Stop stressing. Everything's fine. And then I'm feeling great and they're down. Like, I'll pull them up. Like, let's just keep on like lifting each other up instead of like clutching and grasping and needing this neediness. I don't even have to talk. You could feel it. Like, and words are kind of scrawny. They don't do it justice. It's all about a feeling. Does your relationship feel expansive and freeing, and you support each other in anything that the other person wants to do, because it's one short life and they only get to experience that body for a couple of years, really. Like, it's just in and out and that's it. It's like, go enjoy your life. Like, and if you want to come back and watch a movie on Netflix with me at night, awesome. Like, awesome. Yeah. Because we love each other's company. It feels right. And it's not easy. Like, I think even that's a kind of a misleading word, because if you take the easy route, it usually leads to hardship. Mm. And the easy route is, you know, not, it's the number one regret. I mean, there was a book that was written by an Australian woman named Bronnie Ware. It's called The Top Regrets of the Dying. She was a hospice nurse and she worked with dying patients, and she interviewed them on their regrets, and she wrote a book about it. And the number one regret of the dying is, I wish I had lived a life that I wanted to live, not a life that someone else wanted for me.
Yeah.
The number one regret was, I wish I lived an authentic life.
Yeah.
So I never want to be the reason for someone else to say that on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny that you bring that up, because I was thinking about a very similar topic this morning. So I was thinking about my own life and the journey that I've been on over the last year and in doing what I was doing and even with podcasting. And I remember there's this one gal and she has a very successful podcast. And I've heard her say more than one time, oh, when someone asks me if they should get into podcasting, I always say no. And I thought to myself literally just this morning, and I was like, what if I would have listened to this stranger that doesn't even know me and just listen to what she said instead of saying, you know what? No, I want to go and do this. And this is like part of the life that I want to lead. And I thought like, gosh, how great. And it made me happy that I am more of a positive, encouraging person, where if somebody wants to do something, I'm usually more like, yeah, go do it. If like you're feeling called to do that, if you feel like you are meant to do that, go do it.
The word desire means desire of the Lord. It's something that we were given at birth. It's the greatest gift that we have, is that we want things and we can visualize and we can imagine them. But then we have these rules. Nope, you can't do that. You can't cross that line. You can't do this thing. Yeah. You can't travel there. I'm telling you, like for me, polyamory is just the ability to say yes to life, like whatever that means. And usually it's not sex. It's like, it's just a nice conversation. Maybe it leads to a business partnership. Maybe it leads to a fun podcast episode or something that you wouldn't have done because like, oh, I can't talk to that person. My wife's going to get jealous. Like, it's just craziness. A lot of insecurity.
I love that. Yeah. Oh my God. The insecurity, I feel like, is the root of so much. And lack of communication, I feel like, is the number one reason that so many things fail. I mean, whether it's friendship, relationships, business, anything, it's people who are unable to communicate with one another. Well, I have loved this conversation, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing and for accepting the questions that I had and for just being yourself and sharing who you are.
It's my pleasure, Nikki. Like, this is, I wasn't sure what to expect, but I knew I wouldn't hold back. So
well, I'm so glad you didn't.
yeah, I hope that, you know, inspires you. And even if there's one person listening who it maybe gives them just a little more permission to be themselves or to have that hard conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful that we have connected and I'm grateful to know you. Tell everybody listening how they can get in touch with you if they want to learn more about the work that you do.
My website is mikemesseroff.com. I'm on all the social medias pretty much at Mike Messeroff. My Substack's probably the best place to go. It's called The Circle of Free Thinkers. So
I love that title.
Yeah, thecircleoffreethinkers.com.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Scarlet Edit. If you loved it, send it to a friend. Rate it 5 stars and follow along so you don't miss an episode. For more information about the Patreon community, check out patreon.com/thescarletedit. And I will see you next week.